The next case today is number 052667, Highway J Citizens Group against the United States Department of Transportation. Ms. Fisk.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. This appeal turns on the question of whether the plaintiffs who acted here in good faith are barred by res judicata from challenging the Highway J project because they previously challenged an entirely different project, the Ackerville Bridge. This case in the Highway J Citizens Group's previous challenge to the Ackerville Bridge has already held that these are two entirely separate projects. Res judicata is not supposed to be a trap for the unwary. That is what this court held in the Anderson versus Chrysler Corporation case. Yet the district court's res judicata ruling has caught the plaintiffs in exactly that sort of trap.
But when we get to the bottom line, though, here, in the earlier case, didn't Citizens make the same argument that it makes here? I mean, isn't that what counts? And the argument was that the government failed to determine the indirect and cumulative effects of the project before issuing the 2002 ROD?
No, Your Honor. The challenge to the environmental analysis of the Highway J case being made here was not made in the prior case. The Ackerville Bridge case, in that case, the plaintiffs challenged the environmental analysis of the Ackerville Bridge itself, not of the Highway J case.
But didn't our decision in that case also conclude that the environmental assessment process for the highway expansion project comported with NEPA?
The prior decision concluded that the environmental analysis and finding of no significant impact for the Ackerville Bridge complied with NEPA. The prior decision did not address the separate environmental analysis and decisional documents for the Highway J project. Here there's two different decisional documents. There's an environmental assessment for the Ackerville Bridge, and there's a record of decision for the Highway J project. This court upheld the decisional documents for the Ackerville Bridge and concluded that that bridge had not been improperly segmented from the Highway J project, but it did not address, and because plaintiffs did not raise the merits of the environmental analysis and approval of the Highway J project itself. I would note that the court specifically stated in its earlier decision that, quote, Citizens' focus in this case is the Ackerville Bridge project. The County J Highway 164 project is relevant to this litigation only because the citizens believe it was improperly segmented from the Ackerville Bridge. Segmentation claim did not make the Highway J project the focus of that earlier case. We believe that this court should reverse and remand the district court's res judicata ruling for three reasons. First, this court has already held that the two projects are entirely separate. Therefore, we believe that it would be unfair and inconsistent for this court to now rule that the plaintiffs had to challenge the Highway J project in their earlier case. Secondly, the Ackerville Bridge case had a different core of operative facts than this current challenge to the Highway J project. And third, we believe that Anderson versus Chrysler Corporation is on point here and persuasive authority for how res judicata should be addressed in this case. Turning to my first point, the defendants and the court have always treated these projects as entirely separate.
But wasn't Citizens' argument in the first case that the bridge product and the highway expansion product were really one and the same for purposes of the environmental assessment? And aren't you flipping positions now, saying that the bridge project and the highway project are separate?
Your Honor, the plaintiffs did argue in the first case that we believed that the defendant should have treated the two projects as one. That issue, though, has been decided by this court that they are not the same project, that they are separate projects. Therefore, the defendant's approach of treating them as separate projects, this court has affirmed. And following that lead, it's only a fair now to allow the plaintiffs to be able to raise their environmental claims to the Highway J project.
But aren't we dealing with the same core of operative facts?
Which,
because in the first case and now, Citizens is challenging the adequacy of the environmental assessment proceeding?
In the first case, the overwhelming thrust of the first case was challenging the environmental assessment of the Ackerville Bridge. We focused on the consideration of the environmental impacts of the bridge, the consideration of the alternatives to the bridge, and the question of whether that bridge had been improperly segmented from the Highway J project. That segmentation claim focused on whether the bridge itself, this 1.8-mile-long bridge project, had logical termini and independent utility. This court concluded that they did. There was no challenge to the consideration of the environmental impacts of the 18-mile-long Highway J widening project in the first case, or the consideration of alternatives to the Highway J project in the first case. Those issues are now being raised here. This present case challenges the environmental impact statement for the Highway J project, and there are no issues in this present case about the Ackerville Bridge. We don't raise any factual allegations about the Ackerville Bridge. Therefore, we believe that the core of operative facts here are different. Turning to the issue of raising our references to the Highway J project in the earlier case, we did not challenge the Highway J project in the earlier case. We simply raised it as part of our segmentation claim. A segmentation claim requires a reference to two projects. We're arguing that one project, the Ackerville Bridge, was illegally segmented from a second project. Plainly, you have to reference the second project in order to be able to make that claim. Simply referencing that project, however, does not mean that we have challenged that project, and that I would point the court to the decision in Anderson versus Chrysler Corporation, which we believe is virtually indistinguishable there. There, the
in
court.
The first case.
Yes.
In your complaint, in your prayer for relief, you said that you asked the district court to preliminarily and permanently enjoin the defendants from widening County J Highway 164 from I-94 in Waukesha County to STH 60 in Washington County from two lanes to four. That sounds like you were placing in issue the entire project.
Your Honor, we had to request injunctive relief against the Highway J project because as part of our segmentation claim. Had we not requested injunctive relief, then any plaintiff's victory on the segmentation claim would have been a hollow victory. If the court had ruled for us on segmentation but not adjoined the Highway J project, the defendants could have proceeded with constructing the Highway J project, even though the segmentation victory would have required them to consider those two projects together. So in order to have proper relief on a segmentation claim, both projects would have had to have been enjoined. However, we did not challenge any of the analysis or approval of the Highway J project itself by the defendants. I believe that my rebuttal time is on, so I will end here unless you have further questions.
I think we're fine. Thank you, Mr. Fisk. We'll hear now from Ms. Roundtree.
Good morning, Your Honors. I believe it's somewhat been established that the pivotal issue in this case is whether the Citizens One lawsuit actually included a challenge to the Highway 164 project and the EIS that had been prepared for that project and approved by the Federal Highway Administration. And I believe, Judge Williams, as you correctly pointed out, and Judge Ripple, given the relief that was sought in that first suit and given the facts on which that first case was based, it's quite clear that that first lawsuit, the Citizens One suit, was a dual challenge to both the Ackerville Bridge project and to the Highway 164 project. Now, the duality of that case is made clear in several instances, one of which is the relief that's sought. And it's the government's position that this case could be resolved solely on the relief that's sought. But I'll just give the court a little bit more background. If we start with the factual background that's set forth in the complaint, we see that it's contrary to citizens' claims, for example, at page 13 of their opening brief, there isn't just a mere mention of the Highway 164 project. It's not only stated what its proximity is to the Ackerville project. There are more specific details that are given about the 164 project, and it's included, for example, in the mission statement of the plaintiffs. It's included in the venue. It's also included in the description of the projects, which is actually the only place one would expect to see a mere reference to the Highway 164 project. We even have not only a statement of the total cost of the Ackerville project, but also the total cost of the 164 project. Now, if we take that information and go to the third cause of action in the complaint, and that's found at page 192 of the appendix. Now, in the prior pages, clearly there had been a discussion about groundwater contamination. There had been discussion about the Ackerville project. But when we get to the third cause of action, it all of a sudden becomes clear why so much factual detail about the Highway 164 project had been given in the earlier parts of the complaint and its factual background. Now, at page 192, if we begin at paragraph 46, the first substantive statement is that the defendants improperly segmented both, and it refers to project numbers. Those are the project numbers for both the Ackerville Bridge project and the Highway 164 project. Now, tellingly, this sentence doesn't simply state that the defendants improperly segmented the Ackerville Bridge project. If indeed this case was only about the Ackerville project, that's all that sentence needed to say. Instead, it says the defendants improperly segmented both of the projects. We move down to the next paragraph, paragraph 47, which continues on to page 93. It says, as two projects, they should be discussed in the same environmental impact statement. Again, it does not say that the environmental assessment that was prepared for the Ackerville project should be set aside, an environmental impact statement should replace it that discusses the Highway 164 project. Now, the reason this sentence that the two projects should be discussed in the same EIS is so significant in this case is given the factual underpinnings of this case as set forth in the complaint. When the complaint was brought, we had two separate projects and two separate final approved NEPA documents. We had an environmental assessment for the Ackerville project. We had an environmental impact statement for the Highway J project. This sentence that says there should be one EIS for both necessarily says that the EA for the Ackerville project is deficient. It necessarily says the EIS for the 164 project is deficient. Both of those should be set aside. Right. And that a new document should be prepared.
So your point is that everything could have been brought in the first suit.
Indeed, Your Honor. But not only that, but I just want to make clear to the court, and I was just attempting to go through the complaint, that we clearly have factual background established for both cases, and we have allegations of deficiencies, and we have relief sought for the two different projects. Now, I won't necessarily go on with this, but I want the court to just take note that it continues on page at paragraph 48, for example, on page 193. At that paragraph, Citizens actually purports to give the government's motive in segmenting the two projects. And as the court will note, the motive, as stated in the complaint, is directed solely and specifically to the EIS for the Highway 164 project. It states, the reason the defendants have segmented the bridge project into a separate project is, quote, so that the EIS for the Highway 164 project would not have to address the environmental issues raised by the presence of the contaminant plume. In other words, what this is saying is that the EIS for the Highway 164 project is inadequate because it didn't discuss a contaminant plume that was a concern to the citizens, to the plaintiffs at the time. Now, clearly, Your Honors can look at that sentence and note that the government defendants, having read that, would be compelled to respond to that allegation, and they would respond by way of defending what document? The EIS for the Highway 164 project. And indeed, it's because it was that document that was also being challenged in this lawsuit. Now, lastly, I'd like to pick up on what Judge Ripple was referring to, and it's the relief that's sought in this case. That's found at pages 193 and 194. We'll begin at paragraph 3. That asks the court to require the defendants to prepare an EIS for the Acreville project. Now, that's an entirely different NEPA document, and they want it for the Acreville project. We go to paragraph 4, and we see that there's a request that the defendants prepare a new EIS for the Highway 164 project. That necessarily means that they're asking the court to set aside the existing EIS for the 164 project and have the defendants prepare a new one. We then go to paragraph 1 in the prayer for relief. We see that that Citizens is asking that the court preliminarily and permanently enjoin the Acreville project, to enjoin it from proceeding until an EIS is prepared. And we go to paragraph 5. We see the same request, but it's for a different project. It's for the Highway 164 project. Citizens actually ask that the Highway 164 project be enjoined from proceeding. Given this rundown of the complaint that formed the basis of the Citizens One lawsuit, it's clear that the duality of the challenge has been established. And moreover, and more important to this case, the unique challenge that was waged against the Highway 164 project and the EIS that had been prepared and approved for that project can't be denied. Now, if I could just take a minute, let's see, White means I have 5 minutes. If I could take a minute just to distinguish the segmentation arguments that were made, if the court is not clear on that, because the appellants have made that a little murky. A claim of improper segmentation means that a NEPA analysis, an environmental analysis done under the National Environmental Policy Act, was inadequate because it didn't include an analysis of the environmental impacts of another project. It was the government's position in the first lawsuit that the Acreville Bridge project and the Highway 164 projects were separate projects and they met the test for proper segmentation. That included things such as their ability to stand with independent utility. They were independent projects. That was the government's position in Citizens One, and it's the government's position now. They are separate projects and have independent utility. It's the government's position in this lawsuit that the first lawsuit challenged both suits, challenged both projects. We're saying nothing about segmentation. We're simply saying the first lawsuit challenged both projects as part of the segmentation claim. So hopefully the court can understand there's no inconsistency with the government's position. The district court's decision is not inconsistent. They are actually two different issues. It's what's most important is what we're saying today is that the first lawsuit sought to challenge both the Acreville and the Highway 164 projects, alleged allegations against both, and sought relief against both. And for that reason, the government asks that the court affirm the order of the district court.
Thank you, Ms. Roundtree. Mr. Fisk has a minute left.
Just two quick points, Your Honors. First, as a matter of judicial efficiency, we believe it would have been absurd to raise the Highway J claims in the Acreville Bridge case. The defense had always treated these projects separately. There was two decisional documents. To be raising two decisional documents in one case, challenging an environmental analysis and the separate approvals and justifications in the single case would have just been confusing and would not make sense under the general approaches to administrative review. Secondly, it's clear that the references to the Highway J project in the first case were necessary simply as part of a segmentation claim. segmentation, you have to reference two different projects. But to say that the simple references to the second claim, to the second project, bars any future challenge to that project would simply set a trap for the unwary and would be unfair to the defendants, especially given that the defendants, to the plaintiffs, especially given that the defendants have always treated these as separate projects. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Fisk. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.